Welcome everyone. Share number 59. Tes Elo Tavshin Samach Zayin. Last week we began the Elul Zman, the month of Elul, with a Rambam and Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Tes. And continuing on that frame of mind, we'll learn a little about the Tfilos of Rosh Hashanah, the additional prayers which we add during the Aser Yemei Tshuva. We'll begin with the Gemara on Rosh Hashanah. Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. It's three lines down from the top. On the top of the page. And the Gemara says as follows. Hayah Rabbi Meir Oimer. Rabbi Meir used to say, where it's underlined, Shnayim She'olu L'mito Mechol Yav Shav. Two people were on a deathbed. And their sickness, their illness, were the same. Mechen shnayim sh'olu l'gardoim, lidoin, v'dinoin shover. And two people who went for capital crime, and they both committed the same crime. Ze yorad v'ze lo yorad, ze nitzol v'ze lo nitzol. In both cases, in the case of the person, the two people were sick, only one survived. And in the case when there were two people who had a noose around their neck, only one came out alive. The Gemara asked the question, Ibn Dayma ze yarad vezela yarad. Ze nitzol vezela nitzol. The Gemara asks, why in both cases did only one person survive from his illness, and one person survived from that terrible court case? The Gemara answers, Zeis palo v'nene v'zeis palo v'loi nene. The Gemara says, because the reason why those two people, in each of their situation, they survived, was because his palo v'nene. He davened and he was answered. The one who died, those two who died, they didn't. He davened, veloy nana. He davened, but he wasn't answered. The Gemara goes further. B'nei maze nana, v'ze loy nana. So, why was the person, the two people who survived, why were they answered? And why were the other two people not answered? They both davened. So to that, the Gemara answers, Ze ispal tefila shleima, nene. Ze lo ispal tefila shleima, loy nene. The one, the two people who davened the tefila, they were sick. They had the noose around their neck. He davened to Hashem, a tefila shleima. We'll explain what that means in a minute. A complete tefila. He survived. Hashem saved him. The other two didn't daven a tefila shleima. What does it mean, a tefila shleima? Let's look in the top right and see Rashi over there. Three lines down, the first word of the line. Top right corner. Rashi says, tefila shleima. What does it say, the simcha? Niskaven. It's kavana. He had kavana. He concentrated. You know the answer, right, Steve? You know the answer. You know, you maybe could have wrote, you know. Yimachavein. It's called Yimachavein. Same word, kavana. You had the proper understanding. That's the Gemara. The Gemara tells us, a person wants his tefillahs to be answered, he has to have the proper kavana. I heard a question on this Gemara. And I believe I heard it from the name of Rav Matisio Salman, the Mashkiach of Lakewood. And I hope to be saying over the question and answer correctly. Question is like this. Person is on his deathbed. He has the noose around his neck. It's getting tighter and tighter. Till finally someone shoots that arrow and then goes scot-free, right? How is it that those two people who died didn't daven a tefillah shleima, didn't daven a davening with kavana? That's the question that we have to ask. That's the question that Rav Matisseo Salman asked. And I believe he answered that tefillah shleima, kavana, it means here as well that they put all of their hopes and belief in Hashem. That Hashem has that ability to save them. So when the person is davening to Hashem, not just a matter of saying the words, but he realizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God can save him, no matter what the situation is. And that's why they were saved. And the other two didn't daven with this mindset, and that's why they were not saved. Just a few minutes ago, I was talking to my brother-in-law about this Gemara, and he told me a story. He told me a story with Rav Matisseo Salman, the Mashgiach of Lakewood. He told me like this. He went to go visit a person in the hospital once. And he wished this person refuah shleima. And the person in the hospital bed, he responded, "Yeah, Hashem will help." So the Mashgiach said back, "No, he won't." So, you know, sometimes you hear something which you're like, you tell yourself, "No, that didn't happen," right? So you just continue the conversation like, I must have missed something, you know, like I'm sick in bed here, right? You probably missed something. So once again, a few minutes later, this person responds and says, "Yeah, Hashem's going to help. I'll get better." So he said once again, "No, he won't." So by this point in time, this person sick in bed, you know, his curiosity was piqued, and he said to the Mashgiach, "Did I hear you correctly? Hashem's not going to help me?" He said, "That's right. You heard me." So he said, "Can you please explain yourself?" And the response was as follows. The Mashgiach told the sick person, "You think that the doctors will cure you, and Hashem will, you know, help along. If that's what you think, Hashem won't help you. You have to realize Hashem is doing everything. The doctors are just here to look like things are being done through their hands. One has to go to a doctor, one has to take his medicine, but one has to realize that tefillah shleim bekavana. He has to concentrate and realize everything comes from Hashem."
But he didn't do his status. In other words, he...
This person, and this, exactly. That's what the Mashgiach was telling him. The Mashgiach was telling him, you have to realize, not that Hashem will do the 5%, Hashem is doing 100%. Once 100% is there, then the doctors can do their job. That's what the Mashgiach was telling this person. So with this little introduction, we can understand the importance. We're coming to the days of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. We want to make sure we daven a tefillah shleima, a tefillah with kavana. A davening, when we understand what we're saying, one of the first basic aspects of kavana is to know what the words mean. Once we know what the words mean, we have to understand a little about the words. And of course, as we're saying now, to realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ability to do everything.
It's not that I never saw it before last year, but I paid attention to it last year, is that in the Rosh Hashanah davening is the Aleinu.
During the Musaf.
It's Shemoneh Esrei. What we say three times a day is all about, the Aleinu is all, that's all about Rosh Hashanah. So, I try this year a little bit more when I say Aleinu to say it with a little bit more kavana.
Very good.
A little bit more. And then don't remember it every day to do it that way, but once in a while I'll remember it to say it a little bit more. Because it's good to use, my point is, it's good to use the Machzor, good to look ahead now to the Rosh Hashanah Machzor,
right.
See what's in there, which you're going to be
and prepare
for
yourself
that day.
That's 100% correct.
Sometime in Elul, just
and
just
prepare yourself. You're 100% correct. You couldn't have said any better.
The Shemoneh Esrei is long.
Yeah. You remind me by you saying by the Alein when I was younger. So you davenly say the words, and you're not so fluent with the words, you know. So you're standing there for a long time. Finally, during the Shemoneh Esrei, you get it to a lady and was like, oh wow, I'm almost finished, you know, like my neck is hurting me, you know, I'm standing for a long time. And then you turn the page and like, oh wow, it didn't end there, you know, like, you know, you take a peek ahead and it's still, you know, okay, fine. But as a little boy, I remember this. Let's open the Siddur if we can, to the Shemoneh Esrei, page 50, line number 8. In the blue ones. You want to? He shouldn't. Okay, there you go. Look at this. He's a Kohen, so I don't want to ask him to.
No,
yeah, he did it anyway, though. Page 50, line number 8. Zachreinu l'chaim, melech chofetz b'chaim, v'chosveinu v'seif ha'chaim, l'mancha Elokim chaim. This is one of the four additions which we add during the Aseres Meshuvah. From Hashanah to Yom Kippur. The next one is in page 51, line number 7. We're not going to read them through. The next one, the third one, is on page number 59. Line number 22, all the way at the bottom. Niksoiv l'chaim toivin, kol b'nei v'risecho. And the final one is on page 61. Line number 3, v'sefer chaim bracha v'sholem. V'chulei, and so on and so forth. Over here, we see in the R scroll and other Siddurim, they have it in bold gray. I heard that Rav Avigdor Milozetzel, the great Rav, he would put his keys in his Siddur on Rosh Chodesh by the Yal of Yavo part as a reminder to make sure he should insert the Yal of Yavo. Some people, they take stickies, the post-it stickers. And even if they have these gray little markers here, they have it in the Siddur all year round. So they want to make sure it sticks out in their head. They'll emphasize, they'll put a little sticky by these places just to remember to say it. Now, what is the halacha? What is the law if one forgot to say it? Does he have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei?
Or if does not have to.
How about these here?
No, only
Kel HaKadosh, right. So throughout the Aseres Meshuvah, I mean, on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, it's in the Machzor itself. It's actually there. So, you know, there's one Siddur I haven't seen the Oscar put out yet. It's the Siddur for Aseres Meshuvah. You know, that has inside of the Shemoneh Esrei. I don't think they'll do it, but, yeah. So, if one would come across these, when he comes to these parts of the Shemoneh Esrei, and if he forgets to say it, then he does not have to repeat it. Now, if he remembers before he says the name of Hashem, for example, on page 50, line number 10, he continues and says, Baruch Atah, and then he catches himself before he says Hashem's name. Before he says Magin Avraham, before he ends the bracha, before he says Hashem's name, he can go back to line number 8. And that holds true with all of these additional prayers which we have to insert. Before he says Hashem's name, he could go back. If one did forget, I still wrote down that if he remembers before he says on page 61, before he takes his steps back, on page 61, after Elokai Nitzor Hashem, line number 8, after he says all that, line number 8 to 15, By line number 16, before he says that, he can insert all of those over there. If one remembers before he says, takes his three steps back. Meaning, the Zechuein El Chaim.
All of them.
Let's say he remembered at the end, he didn't say anything.
He
can insert them over there. Yes. Yes, he can. But the bottom line is, as our Kohen told us here, Rav Gedalia told us, one would not go back. The only time he would go back is on page 52, line number 5 and 6, page 52, line number 5 and 6, by Hakel HaKadosh. Here he has to say HaMelech HaKadosh. The emphasis is like you told the Simcha, by Aleinu, we're saying Aleinu Shvech Ladoin HaKol, the Master, the King. emphasizing that God is the king, Hashem is the king. One main message during this time period, and we have to make sure we don't say HaKel HaKadosh, but HaMelech HaKadosh. And if one finishes the whole entire Shemoneh Esrei and did not say this, he would have to go back over there. Our topic of discussion for the next few minutes tonight will be page 50, line number 8. Zechreinu L'chaim, Melechovitz B'chaim, V'chosveinu V'sefer HaChaim, L'mancha Elokim Chaim. We're diving to Hashem. Zechreinu L'chaim, remember us, L'chaim, for life. Melechovitz B'chaim, the king, whose Chovitz B'chaim desires life. V'chosveinu B'sefer HaChaim, inscribe us, write us B'sefer HaChaim, in the book of life. L'mancha Elokim Chaim, for whose sake? For your sake, God. L'mancha Elokim Chaim, for the sake of you, Hashem, Chaim, life. The first question that has to be asked is, why is it that this additional tefillah, this prayer, was specifically placed over here? That's the first question that has to be asked. And Rav Chaim Freelander, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, the Mashkiach of Panovich, he asked this question, and Baruch Hashem, he also answered the question. So since he answers it, we can give the answer. And he says on a basic level that we mention Zachreinu L'chaim by the tefillah of Magen Avraham. The bracha is over here, the first bracha, because there is a place in Tehillim which has also the word Zacha. The pasuk says in Perek Kufay, Kapitel Kufay, pasuk Mem Beis, he Zachar as Devar Kodshoy is Avram Avdoi. For he remembered his holy promise as Avram Avdoi to his servant Avram. What's the common denominator here? The word Zachar. Since there is a word Zachar over here in Tehillim by Avraham, and we're now discussing Avram Avinu in the Tefillah, that's the simple understanding as to why we say Zachreinu L'chaim, remember us for life, specifically over here by Avraham Avinu. Let's go now a little step further. And Rav Chaim Freelander explains further. He says like this. The Psukim say, Vaf esbrisi Avram eskor, no matter what will take place, I will remember my covenant, my promise I made with Avram Avinu. It's in Vayikra Chavav, Psukim Mem Beis through Mem Dalet. Vav Kam Zois Afilu Ani Oise Imam Zois Apronis. Rashi tells us, even if they will go through a lot of tragedies because they deserve them, I, Hashem, will not forget them. I will still always be with them. It's a promise. Hashem is remembering the promise that He made to Avram Avinu. They'll be in foreign lands. They'll be attacked. No matter what the situation is, Hashem is saying, you are my children, B'nei Avram, Yitzchak, V'Yaakov. And my covenant with you will last forever. Who was Avram Avinu? Avram Avinu was Tchilo Legerim. He was the first one to recognize Hashem, the first of the Avos, Tchilo Legerim, the first of the Gerim, of the converts. Besides being our father of Tchilo Legerim, Avram Avinu gave us a spiritual DNA, all of us a spiritual DNA. Part of that code, that DNA code, is that no matter how far a Jew might find himself from from his religion, he still has that lojack, that homing device, that calling out to Hashem. The Pintel Yid, the Jewish soul that is not lost, that can come back to Hashem. No matter how far down this person might have gone, this individual, he can still come back. That's one of the things that our father Avraham Avinu gave us. So we are discussing over here specifically by the tefillah of Magen Avraham. We end the whole bracha Magen Avraham on line number 10-11. So that's a deeper explanation as to Zechreinu L'chaim is placed specifically over here because Avraham has the Zechira. Avraham gave us, he imbued inside of us this ability, our Yiddishkeit, our Jewish identity comes from Avraham Avinu. So we're saying specifically, Zechreinu L'chaim, Hashem, remember us L'chaim. That's step one. The next step is, Zechreinu L'chaim is different than the other additional tefillahs which we add here. We don't mention what type of life. We don't say Zecheinu L'chaim Toivim, a life of good. We don't say a life of peace, like we say at the end on page 61, when we end off. Of Parnasa, a living, sustenance. We don't discuss, just Chaim. Why over here is it specifically Chaim? And another place is, we add more, what type of chayim? So to that, Reb Chaim Freelander, he continues and explains, according to the words of the Ramchal, Ramchal Reb Moshe Chaim Lutzato, author of many, many Sfarim, most famous to us by the Nesilas Sharim, Derech Hashem, Das Tvunus, and others. In one of his Sfarim, Maimer HaChochma, the Ramchal explains what type of Chaim we are referring to here. And he says like this. At first glance, I'll ask over here, when we say Zechreinu L'chaim, I assume we all would think it means remember us for life. What else? As opposed to death. Right?
But here it seems to be not just in this world, but for eternity.
So you want to say it means not only Olam HaZeh, yeah, but also Olam HaBa.
Lashon Kodesh is the only language in which Chaim is in the Rabbin, it's in the plural. It's both worlds. So it's
oh, very nice.
Because Chas V'Shalom, a person could die. I mean, it could happen.
But yeah, it happens. It happens all the time.
It happens all the time.
People die.
But yeah. And it's exotic. So we know it's going to get Olam HaBa.
A tzaddik will get Olam Haba?
Yeah.
Right.
So it's like what we're davening for is it can't just be for Olam HaZeh, it has to be for eternal life.
So you want to say it goes on both, yeah, which you're correct. You're correct. Zechrin L'chaim is referring to one understanding, this world and the next world. The Ramchal touches on a different point. You're 100% correct, both of you. But there's a different point the Ramchal touches on. And he tells us there are two dinim, two judgments which are taking place here on Rosh Hashanah. And the first one is, what type of chayim? In other words, will we be placed among the tzaddikim, in the book of tzaddikim, of righteous people, or in the book with rishoyim, with evil people? That's the first judgment. That's why specifically it says Zachrein Lechaim and nothing else. After we are placed in that book, the book of life, let's discuss, then the next question is, what type of life? Will it be a life of hardships throughout the coming year? So we daven l'toiva. Chasveinu v'sefer chayim toivim. Toivim, good. We should have a good life. Should we have parnasa? We daven for parnasa. But first we are davening l'chayim to be placed in that book of life. In the book of with the tzaddikim. That's the first judgment. So the first judgment is to define and place where does this person stand? In the category of the tzaddikim or in the category of the rishayim? According to this, we can explain our next gemara. Our next gemara is also a gemara Rosh Hashanah. The paper in front of me. Smash it down. It's towards the bottom half. This is Gemara Shon Daf Tezayin Amud Beis. You see there's an asterisk on the left side of the page. Go across, there's a little bracket around that. Amar Rav Kasvadoi, Amar B'Yuchanon, Shlosh Esvarim, Niftachin, B'Rosh Hashanah. As we all know, there are three books which are opened on Rosh Hashanah. Echad Shel Rishon Gemurin, one book has the title on it, Evil People, Totally Evil. Echad Shel Tzadikin Gemurin, one book has the heading you want to take out of the library, Tzadikin Gemurin, Totally Righteous People. Echad Shel Beinanim, the third book, the name of the book is called Beinanim. Middle of the road. Tzadik and Gemurin, the righteous people, Nechtavin Menechtavin La'alta L'chaim. They are written immediately in the book of life. Rishon Gemurin, evil people, Nechtavin Menechtavin La'alta L'misa. They are immediately written in the book of Misa, of death. Beinanim tluyin v'oimdim mereshana v'ad yom kippurim. That last book, which is the book of Beinanim, they're not tzaddikim, they're not totally righteous, they're not rishoyim, they're not totally evil. They're Beinanim, somewhere in the middle. These people, their judgment is hanging. It's hanging in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. The actions during this time period, our actions during this time period, will place us into that book of the Tzadikim or Chas V'Shalom into a different book. Zachu, the Gemara continues, Nechtavin L'chaim. If one merits, he merits to be placed in the book of life. Lai Zachu, if God forbid one does not merit, Nechtavim lemisa. He is placed in the book of Misa of death. There's a question that has to be asked. The question is really glaring us in the face. The question is, we'll discuss it from one angle. We just said that every year, during this time period, there are three books open in front of us, in front of Hashem. We'll discuss the Rishayim, the evil people. The person's an evil person, be placed in that book. The Misa, for death. How is it from one year to year that these Rishayim continue to live? This question is, right? It's a great question, right? So besides being my own question, the Rishonim asked this question. I mean, I had this question also. I'm sure we all did. If we, I mean, different points in times in our life, maybe a few seconds ago. The Rishonim asked this question, they all asked this question, and the Ramchal asked this question as well. And according to what we explained, the Mahalach of the Ramchal, according to the way the Ramchal learns, what does it mean, Zachreinu L'chaim, remember us for life? It doesn't mean, like one might think, the life of life and death. Zachreinu L'chaim means, first, judgment, like we mentioned earlier. We should be placed. Which category do we fall in? In the category of the tzaddikim or in the category of the rishayim? He says these words, Shahadin harishoin einay alchai ha'ilam azeh. The first judgment is not on this world. Elo donim kol echod ha'im hu tzaddik v'ozu nichtav la'at alachayim. We judge, Hashem judges each person. Is he a tzaddik? Then he'll be written immediately in the book of life. Tahainu, what does this mean? Is he a tzaddik? Shekoivim shehu shayich le'ela ha'chaim be'emes. That we are koiveya. Hashem says he is shayich. He fits into this category called life. Zachreinu l'chaim. We didn't explain what type of chaim, because that's the second judgment. This is the Ramchal over here explaining. And after the first din, the first placement, is he in Chaim, is he amongst the Tzaddikim, or is he Chas Hashem with the Rishoim, then the next step is, what type of Chaim? Huksoi l'chaim toivim, we daven to Hashem for a good life, the year ahead of us. V'chein b'seva chaim bracha v'shalom, a peaceful year. That's what we're davening for.
Quality of life.
The quality of life. There are two judgments being judged over here. Now, just very quickly, to discuss a very important point. The Gemara tells us, Adon, Kishem Shadani, a person who judges his friend honorably, favorably, so too Hashem will honor, respect him and judge him favorably as well. The question is, when we don't understand a person's actions, so we have to try to think of a positive way, why did he do what he did? Because we ourselves, with the human mind that we have, are lacking in the knowledge of why he did what he did, so we have to judge him favorably. If we judge him favorably, we are told Hashem will judge us favorably. Once again, obvious question. We can't see everything. We don't know everything. Hashem sees everything from bird's eye view. Hashem knows everything all the time. So Hashem will judge us favorably. Judging favorably is only applicable when the person doesn't know the whole story. So how do we understand what this Gemara means? Basically, the answer is as follows. When we say over here that Hashem will judge us favorably, give an example. Two people steal. In the first case, the king, part of the thief, is brought in front of the king. Oh, you stole? Off with his head. Cut his hand off, whatever it might be. Whatever the punishment might be. Next person stole? Different king. You stole? He looks at his background. He's starving. He had no food. He looked for work. He looked for a job. They closed the door on him. What he steal? A few breadcrumbs. and so on and so forth. We could let our imagination run. Now it's wrong, but he won't give him the same punishment. Whoever judges his friend favorably, Hashem will judge us favorably. It refers to a situation where Hashem will look at the whole picture and be merciful. Hashem's mercy will come into the picture here. The Gemara tells us very powerful, strong words. Very frightening if we think about it. More in Erech and Daf Yud Zayin, Amud Aleph. Tanya Rabbi Lezer HaGadol. Rabbi Lezer HaGadol, the Rebbe of the great Rabbi Kiva, his Rebbe, one of his Rebbeim, he said as follows. El Malay Vakadish Baruch Im Avram Yitzchak V'Yakov B'din Lo Yichoylo Nam Lo Yivifnei Toichacho. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu would come and judge Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov with strict judgment, they would not have been able to pass the test. Where does that leave the rest of us, right? Don't give up hope. Don't. Zachreinu l'chayim, we explained a little why it's placed specifically over here. Because of the zechira, the remembrance between Zachreinu, and also it says by Avraham Avinu Zachreinu, Zachar, the Pasim Tehillim. Ki Zachar has Dvar Kodshoi. We all have that ability to come back, no matter how far a person has gone. We just explained the two different dinim, the two different judgments which take place. First, he's being placed in which book? Zachrin l'chaim, that's why it's for life. Hopefully he's among the tzaddikim. Chaim is tzaddikim. And then we explain the importance of judging one favorably. Hashem will judge us favorably. He will look at the whole entire picture. He'll be more lenient with us. I just have one story to say before we end. And we'll end quickly because it's Marv in a few minutes. Tell me afterwards. The story is with Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zichrono Levracha. When Rav Yaakov was the Rav of a shul in Toronto, there were many non-observant congregants in the shul. So one year before Ne'ilah, Rav Yaakov suggested, take one thing upon yourselves. L'mancha, Elohim Chayim. For the sake of Hashem. Do one thing for the sake of Hashem. He went on to suggest, if someone smokes, smoke one less cigarette on Shabbos. Sounds like a little tiny, but do it for Hashem. L'mancha Elohim Chayim. So the story says, continues, that when Rav Yaakov Zatzal was years later in a shul in Miami, 40 years later, a man comes to him and says, do you remember me, Rebbe? He said to him, no, I'm sorry. He said, I was there in your shul 40 years ago in Toronto when you gave this suggestion before Ne'ilah to do one thing, do something for Hashem. He said, I used to smoke 20 cigarettes a day. He lived another 40 years at least later. I took to heart what you said. L'mancha Elohim Chaim, for the sake of Hashem, 19 cigarettes on Shabbos instead of 20. 18 cigarettes, 17. You know how it goes, the rest. The man said, I became an observant Jew. Made sure to learn Daf Yomi every day. Because he took to heart the words of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zichrono Levracha, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. L'mancha Elohim Chaim. You have to do it for Hashem.